Ladies and gentlemen, making his way to the mic, straight out of London, UK, you are listening to Max the WrestleManiac, if you will.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the WrestleManiac UK YouTube channel. My name is Max. I'm alongside my co-host Gigi. We are about to talk about AEW Dynamite from last night. A bit of a quiet show. Nothing major in terms of headlines. Still a lot to talk about, a lot to discuss. Gigi, how are you doing?
Yo, good man. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. I'm looking forward to this show to discuss. I think, like I said, there's nothing major that happened, but there's a lot of kind of little bits, wrinkles, good and bad, to go through.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy the show a lot, and I'm usually the one.
You're the optimistic one.
Fighting the AEW when it comes to AEW, yeah. Maybe not life. but yeah, I'm usually the one fighting their corner. But yeah, there's a few issues I thought that I didn't really like this week as well.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Before we jump into it, guys, do all the usual stuff. Hit like on the stream, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Gigi also has a channel, it's Gigi on Wrestling. That is in the description. So click the link there and subscribe to his channel as well. And if you're listening audio, in the audio realm, make sure, you know, favorite, 5-star reviews, all that stuff. Follow us. Let's keep growing this podcast. So without further ado, we're going to jump into AEW Dynamite. And I guess the headline that we're kind of leading with today's show is this impassioned Hangman promo that he delivered. Nothing like I would say we've ever seen Hangman do. He took to the mic. Tony Schiavone was going to interview him. You know, he kind of just took it away from Tony Schiavone and just owned the segment, ranting at Punk. And it was like on the cusp, I would say, of like a heel turn. It was on the cusp in terms of the lingo he was using. It was on the cusp of like one of these you people promo. Like all you do is like, oh, Punk is your favorite, this, that, and the other. It was going in that direction, but he still maintained, you know, this new Hangman that we've come to love. He's no longer the anxious cowboy, especially, you know, he's growing into this role as a champion, with every segment, with every match and everything. Those people that, you know, once said he's nothing but, you know, an anxious millennial cowboy. He's nowhere near those guys anymore. So he's developing into his own man. First thoughts, Gigi, what was your thoughts on this promo?
Yeah, I just found it a bit, not out of character as such, but it just didn't work, man. It was just, did he actually say why? Like, I'm not going to come here and, you know, he said, I would usually say I love CM Punk, I respect CM Punk, but I'm not going to do that. Yeah, but for why? Did he actually say that? But for why part? Like, he just seemed to just start going at him and saying, you know, we're not going to wrestle a masturbatory Bret Hart match, as he put it, which I liked. Yeah. I did like him pinpointing that one CM Punk fan and saying, look in my eyes and I'm going to tell you straight. I liked that. I really liked that. Like, just as a thing to do in a promo, you know, singling out one lonely fan to, you know, hone in on. But yeah, the actual material of it and the execution just wasn't. I think he's obviously, you know, like you said, the millennial cowboy stuff, he's trying to shake all that off and try and project this confidence, but there was just no meat.
I think I do get where you're going. It was confusing in the aspect of Hangman is someone that lives and dies by his character. Like, his character has been so key throughout everything they've done in AEW. Like, we know Hangman can wrestle. He is one of their best performers that they have. But his character has been super, super key. And everything his character does, facial expressions, body language, stuff he says. This was really left field. Like, obviously, we never saw him last week. He's just recovered from COVID. This promo segment was supposed to happen last week, so has been said. But it, from where we last saw him, which I think was the title defense against Adam Cole on Rampage, this is, yeah, totally just a bit out of character. I liked my champion looking like a champion, not looking like a wussy, coming out, calling the shots. You know, he's like you said, he stuck it on a fan, like, that Punk shirt you're wearing, you better serve the receipt. You're going to need to return it, or if you haven't burnt it by the time I'm done with him, and like all of that kind of stuff. Really, this is the fire that we were asking for from him for so long. So we can't be too disappointed. But I'm definitely agree with you. I'm definitely in the camp of, does this slightly confuse his character? And yes, I guess they want someone in this match to I guess, wear the heel pants and show that's what they're on, sort of thing. But
I thought it would be Punk, though. If anyone was going to just step into that role somewhat, I thought it would be Punk. It's just a bit baffling to me.
What was the last big match that Punk had and he kind of played heel? Was that the Eddie Kingston one? Or was the
Dustin? Not really.
No, no, no. I mean, it was a big match, like a pay-per-view match. I think it was Eddie Kingston. There was someone. Possibly. There was someone. Yeah, there was someone, and Hunk Punk done the thing of, you know, kind of being that tweener and firing shots and letting the other person be the outright face, basically. And I guess that's what Hangman's doing here. He's letting Punk be the outright face, showing some fire. And all of that.
Hangman just doesn't suit it, does he? I just don't feel like he suits it. Yeah, just doesn't look good on him.
Yeah, this isn't his bag. Like, he I know I've seen some of his heel work before in like Ring of Honor and stuff. I just feel where he is now, like, he's just doing such a good job. He's just smashing it. And you could have just put two faces in the ring. Like, I don't understand why any of them needed such
trash
and such
talk
an edge.
Yeah, I don't know. I was very cautious of going in here, and I was hoping just, you know, the big baby face, you know, everyone loves Hangman, everyone loves Punk, but
yeah.
I guess the crowd just have to, in, you know, a lot of crowds are maybe fickle and they have to pick a side to
a
cheer
side,
for,
yeah,
or boo for, maybe. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, very odd. Very odd. Guys listening, obviously hit us up, let us know on the Twitter or wherever, let us know your thoughts on all of this, because I think it's just not what we expected. Like I said, it wasn't terrible. Hangman, some of Hangman's lines were good, but yeah, I just think it confuses things a bit. Punk is on the show next week. Punk, who's he taking on again? They announced it.
Johnny Hungy,
that's it.
Man like Hungy.
Yeah, so John Silver in his hometown of Long Island, New York.
Which again, like, I don't know if it will happen, but hometown hero, is Punk going to get some booze? So why, it's just going to get even messier.
Yeah, it's very
depending
cool
on how the crowd react to him next week, but it just adds another messiness. I don't know what's going on with this feud.
It's true. And you can only assume Punk's going to put away John Silver. There may be some unrest from the crowd, and then Hangman will come out for probably a segment between those two. And then who's going to be cheered or booed?
They should have just had it as it is, as we know it. You know, this is a big match for Hangman. And I get he alluded to that and, you know, point, like, made references to that. But it's a massive match in terms of, you know, this is a big name, CM Punk. You know, they could quite easily put the belt on him because of him being a big name. And CM Punk could lean into that. And the whole thing of, this is what I came back for. But they just need, it doesn't need to be overly complicated, you know. Hangman doesn't need to be talking dirt on him or anything. It just needs to be what it is.
Yeah, respect. You're right. Like you said, the masturbatory Bret Hart tribute match was a great line. But yeah, it's all about, you know, just the match. The match kind of sold itself. We didn't need this per se. I'm going to ask you again, probably going to ask you again next week as we're getting close to Double or Nothing. Punk or Hangman, who's walking out as champion?
Who is, or who do I want to?
Who will walk out as champion?
Who will? It's so tough. It's such a tough call, man. Like, I haven't even really thought about my own, like, prediction yet, because I'm just so, like... Who's yours? Who are you rooting for, or who do you think at the moment?
I don't know.
That's what I mean. I just...
I think, like, every time I think Hangman, I just still see Punk winning it, and then MJF beating Punk for the title, and I'm assuming MJF is going to take a loss at Double or Nothing, because obviously he's going to face Wardlow, and Wardlow should beat him, and then he's going to get his big win back against Punk, like, which kills two birds with one stone, because he's got beef with Punk already. They're 1-1, need a rubber match. So my brain won't let me think of anything different.
Like, I think I would like for Hangman to hold it longer. But it does make so much logical sense that Punk will, you know, be the next champ. But that's the lovely thing about this feud and the match itself. Like, can you imagine, like, just the atmosphere of that match and just the uncertainty of the result? Because that's one that is really could go either way. So some of those near falls are going to be heart-stopping, man.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're definitely right with that. Victor Punk in the chat. Big up, Victor. He says, Hangman... mentioning Punk being on another TV show made me laugh, because on Tuesday I saw Punk on the TV show called The Mayans. So that's probably why he made the jib, because Punk is, you know, a TV star away from wrestling as well. But let's get into, you know, the overall review of the show. This show was from Baltimore, Maryland. It opened up with a Owen Hart Foundation qualifying match. And boy, oh boy, do I have something to say about this Owen Hart tournament once we get there. But yeah, we had this qualifying match between Jeff Hardy and Bobby Fish. Tidy match. It really did look like two men coming towards the end of their wrestling careers. Like the kind of match that you see, with all due respect, on the indies. You know, in a ring, in a gym, and not very well attended.
Between like Bushwhacker Luke and like some old veteran, like old names.
Yeah. Honestly, Adam Cole was on commentary, and obviously he was here rooting for his guy, which is Bobby Fish. We saw Sting and Darby Allin watching from the stands. Again, there were some good spots. Bobby Fish was working on the leg of Jeff Hardy. We saw Avalanche, Falcon Arrow from the top, which Fish has been doing in recent weeks, and it looks great every time he does it. But, you know, Hardy comes through with what Hardy does, Whisper in the Wind, Swanton Bomb. Every time he went up there, Adam Cole was like, Fish move. But the final one, he got him. And Jeff Hardy wins the match and progresses into the tournament. So that third person of the Undisputed Elite, being Bobby Fish, doesn't qualify for the tournament. I think it was at this point the Young Bucks came down to the ring, right? And they had a stare down with the Hardys. Probably will be a double or nothing match. Maybe Hardy's versus Young Bucks. But Jeff Hardy progresses into this tournament. We've spoken about this tournament, and it's not looking like what we thought we were going to get in terms of personnel or the look of things. What's your thoughts on this initial match and the end result?
This is so unnecessary. Like, why is Jeff Hardy even in this tournament for one? I know you want the Derby Dream match, but you're rushing it. It doesn't need to be happening yet. Bobby Fish, the whole Undisputed Elite, you know, him potentially winning could have played into a little infighting maybe, which could have been something better than Jeff Hardy. But just Jeff Hardy needs to go to bed, bruv. I'm sick of seeing him. I'm sick of it, man. He's not a good wrestler. Like, Bobby Fish is adequate. Like, and he does his thing, but Jeff Hardy didn't make Bobby Fish look brilliant. He didn't. Do you know what I mean? I don't think this match did anything for either of them, apart from obviously Jeff Hardy going forward and then the Young Bucks stare down. But I just, it's just unnecessary. Like, Jeff Hardy shouldn't be in this tournament. Like, I wanted AEW faces, like, you know, originators, you know, or, you know, a few big names, but not necessarily Jeff Hardy, who's, he's not going to win. Like, let's be real. He's not going to win. You're just doing it to get a dream match with Darby. And yeah, man, it was just poor. I know it was a qualifier to get in, but even that, man, come on. It was poor.
It's poor. Like you said, it's poor. And with this said dream match with Darby, I feel they could have built to it more. Like, if you're going to do qualifiers and then draw names and put a brackets together, and the first name that comes out of the hat is Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin, you should have had one of those ballot things. You know, you roll it, pull out the two names, and it's Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin, and there's suspense. Don't just tell us that's it. And it's like, you know, and then we get, obviously, later on in the show, we had Darby Allin saying, oh, okay, Jeff, it's you. Like, no one was even enthused by it. Like,
and don't get me wrong, I like a tournament to set up a big random dream match. It works, it does. Don't get me wrong, like, but for reasons like you said, there's a, you know, hopefully maybe like a randomness, or you know, they make their way towards each other by beating others or whatever it may be. But when it's just, oh, here's your dream match, like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, and it's just going to happen.
It'll be exciting.
It's next week, isn't it? It's next week on Dynamite.
Do you know what, actually? Let's just get it out of the way. Like, the quicker Jeff Hardy loses to Darby and they put the Young Bucks over, the quicker they can just go, innit?
Yeah, move like, to the side. Yeah. Victor Punk says, Jeff Hardy needs to retire. He already gave everything for this business. And you can tell Jeff gets tired pretty quickly. Yeah. I've noticed for a long time since WWE, Jeff Hardy's conditioning. And yes, I'm in no place to speak. I'm not a professional wrestler, but his conditioning looks poor. He looks like he's always out of breath sort of thing. And like struggling to the next spot, whatever the case is. I thought he came here to do a hurrah with his brother in the tag division. I don't think anyone would have particularly minded too much if that's all this was. But to come on like a and get singles positions and stuff like that is
a push. Let's not get it wrong. It's not a push, but do you know what I mean? You're involved in what's supposed to be a very prestigious tournament.
Yeah.
And well, you've been here 2 weeks, bruv.
What's supposed to be, like you said. Let's crack on. We got this excellent vignette, which some of us saw on social media beforehand.
Can I just say, I love it when people are like, oh, what was this on Dynamite? And just trust sometimes, isn't it? It's going to be on Dynamite. Just relax.
To be fair, though, this is like the first time they've ever done like something they put out on social media. Like, not the first time, but one of the very few times it's actually crossed over to the main show. And even I was saying to my mate yesterday, when I saw it on social media, I said, this is excellent. Even if they put it on Dynamite, they ain't going to show the whole 4 minutes, which they didn't. They sold like a truncated 1 minute version. But it was enough anyway. Very good. It's really setting up BCC and what they can do. Poor Wheeler Yuta just took beatings for the entire time.
That's what he's there for. And that's why they're using him so well, bruv. They know what they're doing. It's just smart. It's just smart booking. Just get the young buck to take the heat. He's already over with the crowd. And that will just keep getting him over more. The more he gets licks, the more. And then it makes them scream for Danielson and Moxley to make the save. It's just good match booking. Like, it's good.
So from there, we went into an actual Blackpool Combat Club match, another trios match. They were versing Butcher, Blade, and Angelico. And William Regal was on commentary. There was a fast start where Butcher basically jumped Moxley from his entrance, and everyone kind of, you know, got stuck in very, very early. Pretty decent match, as we have been seeing from the BCC guys. It ended in, you know, this spot that's become iconic now of everyone picking one of their opponents and completely hammering them in the ring. And I believe it was Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson that got the win for his side. What did you think of this match, firstly?
Yeah, well, like the Yuta stuff I just said, I think that's just a good booking technique, and it just keeps getting him over with the crowd. I wasn't overly keen on Yuta being the one bashing up Butcher at the end.
Yeah.
But that's just a very small critique. But overall, it's just what you expect. They're building Yuta. I really want in the next couple of weeks, you know, we need either a big feud for them or, you know, development with another star coming in, you know, a Moriarty or whoever it may be. You know, there's only so many trios matches I'm going to take before there's either stakes or feud, or, you know, we need something now, I think. Like, I mean, right. maybe another week I could maybe take, but yeah, after that, we're pushing it now.
Okay. So just on the basis of what you said, you're getting towards the question I was going to ask you, which is great. We are about 3 weeks out from Double or Nothing.
Is that all it is now?
Yeah, something like that. Double or Nothing, I believe, is the 29th of May. So we're about 3 weeks out. What are BCC doing at Double or Nothing? At least exactly. Brian Danielson and Moxley as the big stars of the group. What do you think is the plan for them? Is there a plan for them?
Well, it's not even going to be House of Black, which everyone is waiting to see, because they're going to be busy with Death Triangle. Mm. So I don't have any idea. Now you said that, I'm disappointed now. I didn't even, this year's going quick, let alone this month, but you know, 3 weeks away, I think we mentioned this at the, you know, maybe at the last pay-per-view, the build wasn't, you know, it was kind of rushed to the pay-per-view bit. So I feel like that's happening again. Obviously, there are some key matches that have fallen into place, but BCC, they've been featured every week in prominent positions. There's nothing, nobody I can see. Like, what other, are they going to go against a trio or?
Best friends? At best? Like, it makes sense, I guess. So that would be...
But then Okada and Trent are teaming up towards the end of, like, there's a couple of weeks they're teaming, aren't they? Trent and Okada against someone.
Right, so if I don't know if that'll night, then.
Yeah, I know, but I just didn't know if it'll start messing things up with the kind of.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because, you know, as growing as a company AEW are, Moxley and Danielson are massive names, and it would very much help sell your pay-per-view if they're on it. So I don't know. It doesn't, right now, there's no clear thing of what they're going to do at this next pay-per-view, Double or Nothing. But
unless they just lay an open challenge or something to Free Bullet Club members or something, I don't know. Or yeah, maybe.
Even still,
to be fair. Yeah, I know, but that could work though. Juice is over there trying to fight for Mox getting involved in the title situation.
The US stuff, yeah. Okay, well, we'll see where that goes. We had a backstage promo of Jurassic Express. Of course, they are the tag team champions, and they were talking to Team Taz. I believe the Team Taz guys, Ricky Starks and Hobbs, probably will have an interview beforehand. I can't quite remember. But yeah, and then Jungle Boy came out with Christian and Luchasaurus. And he's basically, he doesn't mind giving them a tag team championship shot. However, he wants something for himself. He wants an FTW championship opportunity. And I asked myself, why?
It makes sense that it's like title shot for title shot. But when the title is, like he put it, you're not defending it. Like, it is kind of funny though that nobody recognizes this championship, but yet people are like, wait, let me hold that.
Do you want a title? Yeah. I mean, I just see it as another opportunity for Jungle Boy to lose and then Christian to call him a loser again.
Yeah, which works, but they didn't have to be stakes necessarily. But then I guess why not? If they're feuding anyway, he's walking around holding this belt, you might as well chuck it in. But yeah, I get what you're saying. It's not like,
it
amounts to anything.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Give you a little main event on Rampage, though.
Is it going to be on Rampage this week?
No. I'm saying it will. That's if you hold that belt in it, you might get a little Rampage. <main event.
laughs> I'm not even sure if that belt guarantees you that at this rate. SCW Steve in the chat. What's up, Steve? Hope you're well. He says, Jungle Boy about to go on a losing streak until they lose the tag titles. The Christian Cage heel turn is coming. Yeah, that's exactly what I think this is. Obviously, it was very harsh the way Christian called him a loser last time. And then he went on to repair what he said. But I think this is just another opportunity for Christian to stick the fork in once Jungle Boy loses here. So that was interesting. We then had another a promo segment backstage of Swerve and Keith Lee. They're still saying they've got unfinished business with the Team Taz guys as well. And Keith Lee ended with what I thought was a horrible line in that we're going to swerve in your glory.
That's something WWE would do. That's going to be, if that's their tag team name, I will. That, you know, when WWE just mash like Miz Show and like that stuff, man. But that stuff irks me, man. Just slapping, like, you can't think of an original name, like,
yeah,
just
that is
Breezango, that, stuff like that winds me up. I hate
it. That's not gonna be their name. I pray to God it's not gonna be their name, but it's just a terrible line. Like, I Swerve's face even like double took when he heard Keith Lee said it, and I'm sure he knew it was coming. Victor Punk says Jerry Show. So yeah, it was not great. Next up, the next action we had on the card was Wardlow match. Wardlow still coming to the ring, no entrance music, but this was, you know, officially Goldberg-esque. Like the way he was brought out this time, the chants of Wardlow in the Goldberg cadence, like, this guy is over. Like, I was so happy to see, you know, from where he's come from, even in like last couple of weeks, like this was massive. And it felt like, you know, we got a little segment after this match, and I felt like the entrance and how the crowd took to him in this match deserved what came next.
Yeah.
Because it really advanced where he was. He came out, uncuffed, got into the ring, MGF's music hit. MJF introduced who we all knew it was, W. Morrissey, or as he called him, William Morrissey.
One of the worst wrestling names currently. Let's just...
When it was announced, because when he left WWE, he was Kaz XL.
Yeah, which is...
Which was all right.
It's better than Morrissey, bro.
Yeah.
Have you ever listened to Morrissey? Same. Never.
Yeah, it was something. But yeah, I'm happy for him to get back on such a stage. He looks great. Obviously, we know there was like some mental health issues and stuff after he left WWE. He's got himself into terrific shape. He looks great. And this, I was just happy for him. Much so that I generally got pissed off when the crowd started shouting, "We want Enzo." Half the crowd obviously shouting, "No, we don't. We want Enzo. No, we don't." Because this is his moment. You know, he's worked himself to this position. Like, yes, Enzo is still his friend and they still do stuff together. But I don't think that was particularly fair on Morrissey at that time. So Wardlow and Morrissey had Morrissey took it well. He took it on the chin, mocked Enzo, told the crowd to shut up and everything. Other than that, this was, you know, kind of a decent big guy match. I feel like the chanting took people out of it for a bit instead of concentrating on the match. Wardlow just won't leave the top rope alone. Last week was a swanton bomb. This week was a moonsault.
Landed on his feet as well.
Landed on his feet, yeah. Just very, very good. I think it was a bit of a shame we only saw one powerbomb to put away Morrissey rather than the usual 3, 4, or 5 that we get. What was your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm still loving all this stuff, all this Wardlow stuff. Like, they're just letting the crowd do the entrance. Like, it's just happened naturally over time as well. It's not like there's been any force, like Goldberg stuff been put in, like obviously the security, but you know,
That's about it.
I don't feel like they're going, right, we need to copy Goldberg. It feels just like it's just got that energy, and the gasp the crowd made when he lifted him up for the powerbomb, like it just sounded sick. Like when he actually got him up, the crowd went, like you could just hear it. And he just looks, he's just, and I love the start of it, how there was just that kind of, he's a big guy and Wardlow was a bit more nimble, staying out the corners. Like, that stuff was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, the closing bit, like the aftermath, like, was just so crazy.
So the security come back out to put the cuffs on him and escort him out, and he just started battering the guys that were originally there ringside. Then more security started coming out, and they
and the crowd popped on him. For it as
the
well.
The crowd, like, went, yeah, mad for it.
Keep sending and them.
They literally, it was literally like that. Like, keep sending them, because it was like the speed. The 1 minute I thought, oh no, they've got him now. There's about five of them in the ring. He just went bang, bang, yeah, bang, forearm. Like, he was clearing the house. Like, it was so cool, and it was very Goldberg-esque.
Yeah.
Like, but again, it's not by design. I don't think it's just literally organic the way these guys are coming. And I always laugh when you see these guys that are less than flipping 200 pounds coming out wearing security t-shirts, and it's like, you guys are security. But yeah, this was great. Wardlow said, like, you know, I'm not stopping until you release me from my contract. MJF then came with, right, you want to really release from your contract, you versus me, if that's what you want, let's do it. However, he's got some conditions. He's not saying it in this rundown city of Baltimore. He's going to save it for his beloved Long Island next week. Steve has said here in the chat, do you see one of MJF's stipulations being Wardlow being handcuffed in the match? I have this image that Wardlow breaks free from the cuffs before the comeback. The crowd would go crazy. I think that makes sense.
I was just going to say, like, there will be some kind of handicap to the match where, yeah, he's got an arm tied behind his back or something. But yeah, the visual and obviously just the callback to him being handcuffed for weeks and the metaphor of him being handcuffed in his contract, like, it's all good shit.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, can Wardlow deliver a power bomb while his hands are cuffed together? There's got to be a way.
There is.
There's got to be a way.
I just saw it. There's a way.
There's got to be a way. What's your thoughts? Any other stipulations you would like to see or you think they'll add?
I don't know. I really wouldn't mind him just... I know we're kind of getting it, but I liked the gimmick of MJF making the opponent, like, these people jump through hoops like he did with Moxley, Jericho. Mm. Like, I wish there was a more... like, right, I'm going to make you do this, this, and this, and then we'll talk kind of thing. I wish it was, like, known. Like, I get he's just sending people out, but I like the whole just, yeah, this is something MJF does. You have to do this to get to him. But, yeah, I didn't know whether this was the start of maybe, you know, like he did with Cody with the lashings and all that, if there was going to be maybe a few more weeks of stuff, or, like you said, there's just kind of... I don't know. I don't know what else you could do to make it different apart from handcuffs or tying an arm behind his back, or I don't know what other, like, what would MJF need from him to get a match? I didn't know if maybe it was a stipulation in terms of, right, if you win, you get this, but if you lose, you're out or something like that. Just so, because MJF needs something, doesn't he? He needs a reason for this match somewhat as well.
I assume if MJF does win, then Wardlow stays under contract. But yeah, I think the handcuff thing, or at least one hand tied behind your back. The only thing with that, one hand tied behind the back, we've seen it before. Like, to have him totally handcuffed, both hands, I think is where they need to go to make this kind of unique.
And then we get the proper match with no issues when MJF's got the strap.
Yeah. Yeah, that will be good. No silly stipulations, and we just see who can be the better man.
I just want to finish off by saying, send double the security next week. Like, I said it a few weeks ago, like, I could watch like 2 hours of Wardlow just clearing out security. So yeah, make sure you got another like 50% of that next week.
Definitely. Right, before we kind of jump into the next bit, guys, I appreciate, you know, if you're new here, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button before we continue. It does loads for the channel. We thoroughly appreciate it every time you're showing support. And like I said, GG's got his own channel, so you can see that in the description. The link to that is in the description, so hit that and subscribe to GG's channel. Right. We'll move on to talking about, because this is where the women's segments began. throughout the show. We saw a lot of women segments on the show. Still just the one match, but a lot of involvement for the women, which for those of us that have been complaining, me being one of them, I will take. I was very happy to see. The one thing I need to say, though, is the majority of these segments were poor. Like, I felt like if you lot don't know how to book women, I beg, just go and get someone that does. Because this really isn't fair on these guys. And I feel
do
like...
Do you think it's the delivery of these segments or the segments themselves? Because I didn't... Like the Ruby stuff, I didn't enjoy. But the content, you know, I wish we could get our hands on these lot. You know, I don't know when we started this, you know...
No altercation.
Stipulation, yeah, whatever it is. And you're going to get a receipt, Brit, from this. Like, was it just a delivery, maybe? I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud.
Like, I think there's a whole host of issues. Like, for one. Like, for one, and we'll just go through them as they happened in the show. So just call this part one of the women's division chat. But we've seen Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter, like, every week, like, since they said, okay, these two are going to meet, or whatever the case is. Like, why? And nothing's progressing. Every segment is, okay, guys, we're going to talk. No altercations. Thanks for agreeing to that. And we're not saying anything. Like, this story is not progressing. Yeah, we know they're going to face each other in the first round of the brackets, and you guys haven't even told us what else is happening in the women's brackets, but that's another story. But right now, this story is not progressing at all. Now you've added Britt Baker.
How do they improve this? How do you think they improve, like, but this specific, like, story that they're trying to, you know, do we need it on every week?
No, we don't.
Okay.
Firstly, it's a women's match that's going to be at the end of this. These two clearly have bad blood. This no altercation stuff that they keep saying, I'm thinking, are they saying it for a reason or what? Like, let it lead to something. Let Toni Storm be sneak attacked by someone in the back or something, and CCTV catches it, and maybe it's Reba or something like that, or Rebel or whatever. And then, then, you know, Toni Storm almost has a crutch by the time they have their match. Like, if you want to progress this some way, somehow, come on. Like, this has been at least... Am I exaggerating if I say 4 weeks? Like,
well, it's at least three, I'm sure.
Yeah, like, of the exact same thing. Toni Schiavone standing in between Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter. Now, obviously, Britt Baker came back. She's in the picture. Ruby Soho, oh, I don't want to hear you speak. Ruby Soho's, they've added her. And still, no one's, you know, touching each other, nothing like that.
They could have even just done a little dentist. What is it called? The dentist time with DBMD. What is it called?
She ain't done it for time. I can't remember.
No, but they could have. Even that is make it look different at least. And it's like, come into my show. You know, you can't touch us, but I'm going to talk crud on you while, you know, it's my show, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know, man.
It is all very lazy and stuff. And it's just not going anywhere fast. But they're gonna have a tag match on Rampage this week. I guess that'll be the altercation starting. This is where we saw the Hangman segment following this. I guess we've already kind of spoken on that. And following the Hangman section, we saw videos of a debuting Konosuke Takeshita, I think his name is. And he's going to be taking on Jay Lethal on Rampage, I think, as well, for his AEW kind of TV debut. Jay Lethal backstage segment against Satman Singh, sorry, with Satman Singh and Sanjay Dutt was again going after Samoa Joe and all this kind of stuff. Any interest in this at all?
I didn't even know why then Samoa Joe was like, I don't know, like, I'm going to take you on, but then, okay, well, now Samoa Joe is going to come out. Like, give me more Samoa Joe any day of the week, but yeah, I don't know. And I liked, you know, just doing the little, it was inoffensive.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
We next had on the show Santana escorted to the ring with Ortiz, taking on the Wizard, Chris Jericho. Where the hell did that come from? Did I miss something?
I'm sure he's referenced it before. Like,
apparently he said just, something about it last week, but I must.
Yeah, that's it. What I mean. I'm sure he's referenced it, but it honestly it is probably just one of those things. He's doing it on purpose. He knows how terrible it is. I think he is just intentionally annoying us with terrible gimmicks. Like the influencer for one was just. That's going to get under people's skin. He knows yeah. people don't like influencers, or some people don't like, yeah. you know, influencing. And same with the Wizard of Wrestling.
He did pop me last week where I think I was either on Rampage or Dynamite. He said the AEW Galaxy, obviously akin to the WWE Universe. he is definitely pushing the boundaries with this whole sports entertainment thing. Santana and Ortiz, man, I don't know when they're going to be free of this Jericho stuff, but it was a decent match, nothing to write home about. Santana had a little tribute to Eddie Guerrero, which the crowd got excited about. Jericho put away Santana with a Judas effect. There was this little segment afterwards where there was a baseball bat used by Jericho on Ortiz, I think it was. Like I'm saying, I'm more interested in seeing Santana and Ortiz just move away from all this stuff. Like, I don't mind the JAS and whatever, you know, kind of jokey stuff they're doing. But just leave Santana and Ortiz alone and let them go and do something, you know, that their skills actually... you know, require. Like, what did you think of this?
Same. Yeah, dead. I get it. It makes perfect sense. Jericho, the Inner Circle's just broken up. You know, they're sour. Eddie Kingston's obviously, you know, needs a program going into Double or Nothing. And are we going to get Homicide and Hernandez as well? Is that what we're waiting for?
They keep mentioning it's 5-on-3, 5-on-3. So I'm thinking Homicide and Hernandez are coming. I'm thinking even maybe Conan jumps in as a manager. I think, yeah, just putting them all together. They don't do like mixed wrestling or what anything like that on AEW. Otherwise, I'd say stick Diamante in with them as well. They've all got history. So, yeah, other than that, like, again, it's just kind of... Until Eddie Kingston comes back and, you know, Eddie doesn't know that wrestling's not real, ramps it up with his intensity, this is just going to be plodding a bit, in my opinion.
Yeah.
After this segment, we had Samoa Joe cut his promo, fierce as always. And I believe at this point, this is when we had the brackets released for the Owen Hart tournament. Now, from what I remember, we got Adam Cole versus Dax Harwood. We've got the dream match of Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin. We have... Yeah, that's all I can remember. What else have we got?
Phoenix
will take on Kyle O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah, and then Joe Joker.
Right. Samoa Joe will take on a Joker in a tournament that they have been doing qualifiers for over 4 weeks now. Bruv, what the hell is this? What do you think? Like,
I don't even know, man. It's just a cop-out. Like, you're completely correct. You've qualified. All of these people have had to qualify. Why does this specific... Unless you're going to tell us... Unless there's been a dark qualifier match no one's seen, that they're just going to bring footage out of, I don't know. But yeah, there's no rhyme or reason other than you're debuting Cesaro or Miro's coming back. But so then why would you
I
give him...
I love both of those.
So do I. But why would you give... Why would Miro get the... The thing is, yeah, I don't know if you remember or you saw, but when... Adam Page was the Joker for that ladder match. They did a little thing in BTE where he opened a thing and it was like, we want you to come back. Here's a
That's
Joker.
When he was lying in bed or something.
Yeah. So they explained it and he, you know, there was a little detail there. I don't see them having any, even if it's a small explanation. They're literally just going, oh, someone you don't know is going to be in this tournament. Make sure you watch. And it's just, yeah, I'm not a fan.
Steve says TK has a huge announcement. Like, this is, it's mind-boggling that you've just thrown in a joker into something that you've been making people qualify for. No one's complained that a joker's just bypassed them and come into the tournament.
Well, they might, but it still doesn't explain. Well, yeah, they'll have to on the tail end. Why did you get in? That's going to be a feud starter, surely. But why, though? Still, yeah. Why? Why?
Like, I'm at the very minimum, if they're not going to put, like, someone like Bobby Fish and Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, those kind of people, they need to kick up a fuss that Bobby Fish, you know, can't just be left out and then you bring someone in. That's not fair. Like, it just has to happen. And then, you know, that's what I expect from AEW, because they're the smarter product in terms of what they put out. And then again, once these brackets were finally revealed, as we've been asking for, it just doesn't look like what I'm... Okay, is that your prediction?
Who else is going to win it? Apart from maybe Darby, if he gets past Adam Cole. Like, if they're going to pull the trigger on Darby and we get, you know, maybe... That's too soon. I don't know, man. CM Punk, Darby again, maybe, if Punk wins the strap. But I don't know. I'm excited for Samoa Joe Phoenix. Like, if that could happen, that what I'd really love to see. But more than likely, the Joker is beating Joe through shenanigans, even possibly. But that's what I would love to see, Joe and Phoenix. There's a couple of matches in there that are deep. Like, Adam Cole, Darby does intrigue me. Like, that's a good match. Like, of two, you know, future AEW champions, potentially. But that's what I wanted this tournament to be. I wanted it to be the Young Bucks... Or massive names that have dropped everything to go, now I need to be in this tournament. That's what people do in G1 season. You know, no one's doing anything else. Even the champions in the G1. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We're all in it. Like, we're all in it to win it. But obviously some people are distracted with other feuds, but I don't know. Maybe it's just not the right time to have this tournament. I just think it needs to be maybe just longer, you know, build it up for longer, have, like you've said before, you know, have the brackets mapped out so that then at least we can see, oh, you know, give us a shock win. And, you know, you can tell, you know, what people are going to expect from seeing the brackets, who's going to go where. And then you can subvert our expectations by having a loss that messes up everyone's predictions.
Yeah,
you know,
there's
benefits from doing the whole bracket thing from early.
And that's the intriguing part of tournaments and stuff like that.
But now it's just like, right, here they all are. All right, okay. Well, Adam Cole's winning.
Yeah. Adam Cole is your favorite.
Ray Phoenix or Kyle O'Reilly aren't winning. Samoa Joe is going to lose to the Joker. Darby and Jeff, if you make Jeff Hardy win even that match, that's nice. Like, and then Adam Cole's obviously got to go forward. Mm. So where else does it go?
Yeah,
unless they put the rocket on Jax Harwood. Like, unless they're stepping into them.
I did think that earlier today. I think that would have been someone I would like to see get at least a longer run in the tournament, even if he's going to eventually lose.
But if the tournament was mapped out longer, we would have felt that way. Do you know what I mean? Even if we just knew, like, around before the qualifier, you could have feud matches that you're having anyway. But call them qualifiers, couldn't you? Like, still have it mapped out. But at least we would have seen Dax. Oh, we know he's going to get into the qualifiers and rare tear tear. It's just, I feel very, very underwhelmed.
I feel let down. They didn't obviously come out and ultimately say that, you know, Owen Hart tournament is going to be a tournament full of absolute technicians. We're going to go and get Zack Sabre Jr. and Bryan Danielson and Gresham and stuff like that. They never said that this is fans' interpretation, because we saw Owen Hart tournament and that's what we thought. We were going to get a very high level, you know, something akin to the G1. They have massively pooed their pants when it comes to this tournament. I will give them till next year to try this again and do this properly, because this has not been done properly at all. This is, you know, very similar to how WWE throw together King of the Ring. these days, especially. King of the Ring used to be something special. And now, the way they've thrown this together and qualifying match, oh, Joker, wild card in the bloody quarterfinals already. Like,
I think I would have rathered a one-night tournament. I don't know if everyone, you know, if everyone's got the capacity for it in terms of, you know, can they do a few matches in a night? You know, that's up to the, you know, the workers to realise. But yeah, that would possibly be better than what they're doing. And I was hoping we'd get some absolute classics from this tournament. We still might, but I'm only seeing a couple of matches that I can think of that could really, really be outstanding. Kyle O'Reilly Phoenix might be good. And depending on the Joker, who do you think is the Joker, by the way, then?
I didn't give it any thought. So, I mean, I've heard your prediction. You've said Cesaro. We've said someone in chat. We've got Johnny Gargano, I think I saw as well. I saw Sting as well. Miro, like you said. Any one of these names I'll be pretty happy with. But I just think the whole premise of having a wild card in a quarterfinal, it just doesn't.
What if it is a New Japan name that they bring in for the tournament? But they can't, can they? They're busy, right?
Even if they do, it's like the way it's been handled. It just feels like now it's just you're clutching at straws, trying to, you know, raise the profile of it again. I'm not doubting these matches probably, you know, they'll still be intriguing. The final will probably still be very good. It's just the handling of the tournament has let us down, in my opinion.
The winner's surely got to be Darby, isn't it?
I don't know.
Because, no, but surely they want a babyface winner for the first tournament, surely. Because, do you know what I mean? This is the first Owen you're bringing in, and that moment where whoever wins is lifting the trophy for the Owen, and you're going to have booze. I don't know, man. Maybe it's Darby.
But no one's going to boo Adam Cole. No one boos Adam Cole.
Not boos, but do you know what I mean? He's still a heel, isn't it? It's not that. It's not the feel good moment that a Darby or a maybe even a Phoenix.
I mean, watching. I hear what you mean. I definitely hear what you mean. But watching NXT, I've seen this heel Adam Cole since then have plenty feel good moments when he wins titles and all of this kind of stuff. Like, especially his music, man. His music will drown out everyone. Everyone will be doing this and booming along. And
but could you imagine Darby, bro? Like, beaten, battered, you know, tired, can't get, like, Sting lifts him up to hold the trophy. That's a visual. Do you know what I mean?
Darby's good because he's the underdog, just how Owen Hart was
exactly.
The underdog.
Exactly, that's,
But, in my opinion, they have not played into any of that throughout this whole tournament. So, are they going to start now? Who knows? I don't know. Just to take some of the comments. Squared Circle Podcast, thanks for joining us, guys. They said, how's it going? Totally agree with your points on the Owen Hart tournament. Steve said, I'd love to see a video package where wrestlers say that what Owen Hart means to them and why they wanted to be in this tournament. Again, something they should have done from way, way back now, not like starting it now. Earl, knowledge in the building. What's up, Earl? He says, technically, the tournament hasn't started. Let's see the presentation next week when it officially starts. I mean, yeah, but like, this isn't what any of us signed up for, let's be honest.
Yeah, like the thing is, that is all well and good, and I do trust in their process and their booking. I'm confident that they will do something good, but I'm not as invested as I should have been. You know, I was, you know, 6 months ago, before, you know, when this tournament was just a name, I was hyped for it. I think we all were. Mm-hmm. And like you said, maybe certain elements is us overgassing it in our heads and what it could be. But yeah, I'm not as excited as I thought I'd be for it.
Yeah, definitely wasn't expecting this. I expected more, expected better. Like I said, I will give them the benefit of the doubt, pandemic hangover next year. I hope this comes, you know, bigger and better.
Are the matches starting next week? They are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right. Should we make, let's make like a prediction of the final two each then. Like at least.
As in who's going to make the final?
Yeah.
I would say, I'm gonna say this and just see if they dare to do it. Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly.
See, that's an option as well. But is it too soon? But I was thinking that could happen.
It's definitely too soon, but maybe.
I can't get this Derby image out of my head now, but you can't not have Adam Cole on the pay-per-view. Screw it. Derby versus the Joker, whoever it may be.
Whoever the Joker is. Okay. Okay. I mean, that's still, like I said, we're always going to get intriguing matches. The wild card is going to be intriguing. We just got to wait and see at this point. Moving on through the show, we saw the Gun Club. They gave the Acclaimed two boxes along with their dad. The Acclaimed opened the boxes. There were scissors inside. They all started scissoring each other. I beg you lot, don't clip that. We move on to this segment, which, again, Varsity Blondes are in the ring, yeah? And the Varsity Blondes basically call out House of Black. House of Black come out. Julia Hart is obviously with Varsity Blondes. By the time House of Black come out, she's kind of backed herself up into the corner. As well as that, she's wearing her eye patch and I don't know what to call it. The fungus, the virus has started. The poison, as they think they said, started spreading.
Sorry, but before you go to that next, just, I know obviously you're going to run through it. I did like that visual of, you know, the four.
How they cornered them.
Yeah, no, but it was, the Varsity Blondes were spotlighted, but she was outside in the same lighting as the other members of the House of Black, which I thought looked good.
Yeah, yeah. Just to touch on the promo by Pillman, I just thought it was a bit. I don't know what to think of this guy. Like, maybe he's long. Yeah, I just don't know. So anyway, the House of Black lay an attack on Pillman and Griff Garrison. Griff Garrison's down on the ground, and they pull over Julia Hart. And, you know, they stress the point that she's a young girl. She's 20 years old. They hand her a chair. And it was Buddy Murphy that kind of put his arms around her and kind of pulled her into towards Griff Garrison, signaling, you know, hit him with the chair. To be honest, I couldn't help but think, oh, why Buddy Matthews? He's recently obviously just come out. He's seeing Rhea Ripley over in WWE.
He's a gallus. Man's a gallus.
And you know what I kept thinking as he put his arm around Julia Hart? This whole Mysterio Aaliyah stuff. And oh, I said, no. Like, is anyone else seeing this? Or is it just me? But yeah, they sorry, I put the image in everyone's
head. You're right. Could be, though, man. You're right. Could be.
So he brought her over. He had his arm around her, which at this point, that's why I thought, this isn't necessary. But it just gave me those flashbacks. And she kind of lifted a chair to go hit Griff Garrison. The crowd were hot for it. Everyone wanted this to be the turn and, you know, cement the turn. And Julia Hart bottled it. She didn't hit him. Like, why? Like, did you expect this to be the turn as well?
I think I had seen some stuff on Twitter, throughout the day briefly, where someone had complained about it not happening. So I was already... But I think I would have, if I'd not known that, I think I would have been like, yes, finally, yes, it's happening. And then it just didn't happen. Now, I get building suspense, but this is already going on a bit too long as well, man. It's just...
Very long, yeah.
Come on. Like, just do what you're doing. And Brody should have been the one grabbing her up. He's, do you know what I mean? He's the bigger, scarier person.
Yeah, you're right.
Poor,
yeah.
Like, scrap all of it, and just book House of Black versus BCC at Double or Nothing or something. I don't know. And then it's just messy with they're feuding with the Death Triangle though, so that's just messy in itself. They should have cleared this bit up. Right, Julia, you're with us now. Right, cool. Right, now onto Death Triangle. Right,
yeah.
Okay, now BCC. It's just a bit too. And I do like a lot. Or I do praise them a lot for having a lot of moving parts in this galaxy
interweaving storylines
exactly. Which I do appreciate sometimes, but sometimes it just messes it up a bit and gets it too muddy.
Sometimes long-term storytelling is only needed for certain stories, not, you know, certain things that they're doing that, you know, okay, we know you want to put these guys against these guys, you want to put this team over. We do not need weeks and weeks of TV and segments and matches to do that. Like, the Julia Hart turn, I feel, should have come tonight or last night. Like, people were hot for it. Like, Victor Punk says here, why Julia Hart stayed on the ring while Justin Roberts was doing the announcements. Yeah, I think I saw a couple of people saying that she kind of overstayed her welcome in the ring. Earl says, with the way TK books, we might get the Julia turn by Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, and then, of course, the save was made by Death Triangle. And that took us into the Rey Fénix versus Dante Martin match, which I believe was a qualifier as well for this Owen tournament. Really, really good match, really fun match. Obviously, some premier kind of high flyers in this match. We saw the likes of a double moonsault, which they both landed, which I thought was absolutely nuts. And then Rey Fénix eventually put away Dante Martin with like a, it looked like a soft pile driver. Yeah, it wasn't quite like
it looked all right, but not what we were.
Yeah,
Rikishi driver or whatever.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it wasn't that, but it was like a kind of softer landing sort of thing. Put away Dante Martin and Rey Fénix enters the tournament. What was your thoughts on that match?
Fun, just exactly what I don't know. Maybe I had higher expectations. It didn't deliver to what I really wanted it to. I don't think it got to the real heights I wanted it to. Mm. But yeah, it was fun. Some good spots, the little leapfrog spots, and then they both went for the leapfrog. That was cool. Anytime I get to see Dante Martin do that, like backflip over an opponent, and like, I love that shit. And when he done like a jump, like two, like both his legs up and jumped over Fénix as well. It was very, very impressive.
He's very special. I know Darius is injured right now, but I think they need to put that tag team. It's hard to say because they're so young. They've got so much time. But like, Dante has left this guy in the dust, with all due respect. Like, by the time Darius needs to come back, he needs to come back on maybe some jealous tip and tries to take out his brother or something like that. Because to put Dante back into a tag team almost feels
like a step
counter. Yeah, it's counter.
Well, not even that, but I think you've just nailed it on the head. Dante's just, he's got too much stock that his brother hasn't got, unfortunately. So it's not even a step back in terms of division. It's just, you know, his partner is not, you know, his partner is already the Marty Jannetty, and we've seen him tag about 10 times or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. We had a little backstage segment with the baddies, or as they're calling them, Jade and the baddies. Jade just basically saying she's a champion, this, that, and the other. Red Velvet, how she's going to go on and win the women's Owen Hart tournament. And what's her face? Kira Hogan, just nothing. I thought she was going to say, like, I'm going after the women's championship. No.
Yeah.
Not on nothing. Like, she said, that's on period. And that's it. So, again, good to see the women featured on the show. It's a step forward, but the segment was just a bit whatever, innit? Like, it was put there for the sake of being put there. Darby Allin had his little spiel backstage with Sting on, you know, the fact he's going to face Jeff Hardy in this tournament and that it'll be special. We then had Thunder Rosa came out for a chat. So this was, I guess, part three of the poor women's segment. She came out, and we've seen Thunder Rosa do like the whole impassioned promo as the Latinas tend to do. They mix the English and the Spanish and they're fiery and brilliant. Like, however, as I was watching this, this wasn't that, by the way, at all. And as I was watching this, I thought every time Thunder Rosa has done that, it's been like a pre-recorded segment. It's been like backstage and a pre-recorded bit. So this is one of the few times, especially as champion, they've given her, you know, a live mic, go out to the crowd and everything. It was cute at best. It was
smiling so much, bruv.
Yeah.
Like, it's... honestly, she was smiling too much. Why was she so happy to be about to face one of the most dangerous women in the world? Like, not only in kayfabe, like, she shouldn't be smiling that much, but she shouldn't be smiling that much. Like, her character works, like you said, when she's bringing that fiery Latina out and she's just spieling off Spanish that, you know, some of us don't understand. And we, you know, no, but we can just infer what it means. And sometimes more impactful because she could be saying, we could make up the worst. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And,
like, that is, you've nailed it on the head. I was going to say exactly what you were going to say. That's what we need from Thunder Rosa. She needs to be, every promo needs to be someone holding her back. Like, do you know what I mean? Literally, yeah. Where she's just like, just going for someone. And Deeb saved it somewhat, like a little bit, because she's, I think she, maybe she's more competent on the mic. Little. Like, I think she's slightly more competent than Thunder Rosa. Deeb tried to like give that little ending tag to the promo, and then Thunder went, like, put her mic up as if, oh, shall I say?
just to go through this, everything we've said is correct. Like, this almost felt like, obviously we saw in maybe the last week or two, Becky Lynch came out and said the women at AEW aren't doing it as the women in WWE are. They get less opportunities, and she more or less said we're better anyway. Like, she said something along them lines, just paraphrasing. And it almost felt like Thunder Rosa got sent out to do PR. Like, or for all of those criticizing AEW women's division, we're trying to make it better. Like, please, you know, give us a break, sort of thing. Then obviously she called out, she said that she's been up and down the road watching a particular somebody. She's talking about Serena Deeb. Serena Deeb, she called her out. Serena Deeb came out very quickly. And there was a load of respect between the two, which is fine. It works somewhat. There was just like, you know, I went up and down the country. Serena Deeb was saying to Thunder Rosa, like, and I don't know if you noticed this, Thunder Rosa was basically ad-libbing everything Serena Deeb said. Like, she'll be like, oh, you know.
But not with any vim or passion, like you said. Like, it should have been, what? Like,
yeah.
She went, tell me.
She's literally ad-libbing her, like, them two were writing a song. Like, oh, yeah, that, you know, I'm the best woman in the division, okay, but I've got the belt. Like, yeah, I have a ton of respect for you. I've got a ton of respect for you too. Like, what are we doing here? Like, yes, this is the champion versus the number one contender, so we need very little to build to the actual match. Just by placement, you two will face each other, which is absolutely fine. But there was no heat here. There was zero heat. Serena Deeb just like, yeah, to make this division better, I need to be champion, this, that, and the other. Long stares at each other, almost like they're looking at each other like, okay, it's your line now, like, go on. The crowd didn't seem very invested in it. They threw up the double or nothing graphic afterwards, and to be honest, I just felt like, well, again, I'm happy to see the women getting more segments, but you probably could have just thrown up the double or nothing graphic and everyone would have just been happy, because this segment, this altercation between the two was
ass.
Yeah, it was hot, very ass. Weak. It was very weak. Like, and Serena Deeb can bring the fire. She can bring the passion. We've seen that in her bloody street fight she had last week. Like, she said some nasty things as well about Shida. And again, maybe it's because it's pre-recorded promos. Like, maybe if that's where those women's strengths lie, that's what you stick to. But yeah, again, it wasn't a great showing for the women. We found out as well that, you know, John Silva, hometown hero, is going to take on CM Punk, which we mentioned earlier on. And then we had the main event, Ring of Honor women's title on the line, Deonna Purrazzo versus Mercedes Martinez. So for those that don't know, Mercedes Martinez became interim champion of Ring of Honor women's division because it was Deonna Purrazzo that couldn't make Supercard of Honor. So this is when Mercedes Martinez took on Willow Nightingale and beat her, and is holding the interim title. It was good to see Deonna Purrazzo at AEW. I think this is, you know, the next platform for her. I know this is probably just a one and done because she's contracted to Impact, but
especially if she's lost her belt now.
Especially because she's lost her belt now.
Did you hear though the introduction from? Mercedes Martinez's introduction, he called her one half of the
Yeah, one half of the Ring of Honor Women's. Yeah, that was very.
And then Deonna got the Ring of Honor World Women's Champion. I was like, oh, yeah. Horrible.
Yeah, yeah. It was a bit of a mess. Just to kind of get through this match. It was a decent match. I wish they got more time. They kept banging on about, 60-minute time limit. We'll stick with it till the end. And then I can't remember how long they got. It wasn't like...
It was about 12 or 13 minutes, I think, bell to bell.
Okay.
Might have been shorter than that.
Mercedes Martinez put her away in the end with a Dragon Sleeper. At the beginning of the match.
Tapping out Diana Perrazzo as well.
Who is a specialist in that field. I know. In the beginning of the match, Diana Perrazzo didn't want to accept the Ring of Honor, Code of Honor, the handshake, but she initiated the handshake at the end of the match. So again, I thought this was an okay match, but I thought it felt in the arena, this was super flat. It felt like, right, you've given us a title match for a title that's not on this show in the main event for two women facing for this title that, and there's always this constant argument when it comes to AEW's audience about the smart fans and the casuals, whatever. But let's be completely honest. On TV, you're going to get probably a lot of casuals watching. And these two don't really resonate with AEW. Mercedes Martinez is signed, but hasn't been featured loads or in anything particularly prominent. Deonna Purrazzo, again, from her exploits on the Indies, NXT a little bit, I don't even want to say that because they botched her there. Mainly Impact and what the great stuff she's been doing there. But these two aren't core to AEW's audience. So it's like, as someone that watches in the crowd, how invested can I be in this? You see what I mean?
You could hear some smart fans pop for Deonna Purrazzo, but...
Of course, yeah, yeah, you did.
But, yeah, but the casuals were there because they wanted Enzo. Like, do you know? I mean, not... That, well, yeah.
Probably, yeah. It's like, I'm happy, obviously, like we said, Deonna Purrazzo is signed to Impact now, or has been signed to Impact, and obviously AEW have copped Ring of Honor. So this was obvious that they had to take the belt off Deonna Purrazzo. I'm happy for Mercedes Martinez because she often gets, you know, oh, she's the 20-year veteran and all that, but what has she really, really done? You see what I mean? So this is a good place for her to be, in my opinion. Once some type of Ring of Honor TV show streaming service begins and we're getting weekly shows, at least she's, again, a recognizable face somewhat that people can, you know, tune into and know, okay, this is the face of the women's division right now anyway. So I think it's a good spot for her. But I just feel like, again, they've tried to do something for the women and it just hasn't really worked out. And I don't know. They can book the men so well. Like, is it that much different or difficult to book women? Like,
I don't know what it is. I honestly don't know what it is. But yeah, just more Deonna Purrazzo, please, is all I could say.
Yeah, they're going to have to wait a while. Oh, no, well, I say a while. Deonna Purrazzo's contract is due this year.
Oh, is it?
That's 100% accurate. Like, it's due up this year. I don't believe she signed a new deal yet. I thought it was due already in April. I actually thought it was up. I guess not, but she's definitely coming to the end of her contract. Someone they definitely need to sign. She needs to leave Impact and go to the next level, like I said earlier. But is the AEW women's division somewhere you want to sign to? That's the
thing.
Well,
she's already tried with WWE and it didn't go well.
I mean, that's true. She could stay with her, where she is in Impact, where women are treated very well. So yeah, that's what AEW Dynamite looked like. Like we said, there's talking points in the show. However, it wasn't the most crazy show. Nothing to really scream about. We're about 3 weeks out, or should I say about 3 Wednesdays out from Double or Nothing. Anything catching your eye at this moment?
Hangman Punk is going to be a brilliant main event. But you're going to, honestly, I don't know, man. It's not really tickling my fancy at the moment. I'll be honest. Like, I mean, Deeb and Rosa, I'm somewhat hyped for the match itself.
Good match,
yeah. Like, I am. It will be a strong women's match. Deeb in a title match, I'm a big fan of. So that's good. But other than that, I mean, what else are we really getting? Like, hopefully it'll be nice if Starks and Hobbs make it onto a pay-per-view card. And the Owen final, but it all depends how it's all mapped out. But honestly, at the moment, everything I've listed has been poorly booked so far, or it's not got me as excited as I'd hoped. So hopefully they pull it around and we get a good show.
And like we were saying earlier, the BCC surely have to be on the card, but how are we going to get there in the next 3 weeks is the question.
We haven't even had Trent versus Yuta yet, have we?
No.
Maybe it is best friends, then. Maybe you're right.
Yeah, maybe. It makes the most sense, but we got to start putting that in motion as well. We're 3 weeks out. Cool. That is the AEW Dynamite review. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you for joining us. On your way out, please hit the like button and hit the subscribe button as well. You can subscribe to GG's channel, which is down below, GG on Wrestling. It's in the description, so hit the link for that as well. And for everyone listening on podcast versions, please make sure you follow us, subscribe to the podcast as well. Hit us with a 5-star review. We'll thoroughly appreciate that. We will be back same time next week, hopefully with more enthusiasm and some really good stuff from AEW Dynamite. But until then, WrestleManiac UK signing out, and I'll see you soon.